It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're going to shove you right into the hump so that you can get a head start.
Hump?
It's a little bit like when we take off the training wheels, and maybe that's a great metaphor for going into the Wednesday. Time to take off the training wheels. If you're going to get closer to the weekend, if you're going to get where you want to go, and you're going to pick up some speed and learn how to do this, well, we're just going to give you a shove. No training wheels, flying downhill. Look, Mom, no hands. Crash. No. It's okay if you put your feet down. I always wondered that about little kids with bikes, and I think probably I was that scared too. Until as a kid you realize, or whatever age it is that you learned how to ride a bike, I'm sure there are adults do as well. Once you realize that you can put your feet down and everything's fine, but it's this idea when you first get the shove and there's no training wheels that somehow if you don't learn how to bike immediately, you're going to crash. All you got to do is put your feet down. But I don't think a lot of kiddos realize, all I have to do is put my feet down and I'm fine.
No, they think they're on the moon. They think they have no control of their limbs whatsoever. That was me. It happened to me once when I was learning how to ride a bike. I hit a tree, not hard, but I hit a tree. And I didn't realize, hey, I couldn't stop with my feet.
Now, as an adult, I was trying to learn how to rollerblade. I can do the forward motion and the skating just fine. I cannot stop. Because as a kid, I was a roller skater, and you stop with a completely different mechanism, right? So it's the opposite of hockey. Roller skating is the opposite of, say, a hockey. And I just was never good at the stopping with the brake on the back. And so multiple times, I've had to run into things and grab them so that I could stop. The same principle does not apply. Just put your feet down. Nope, doesn't work. One time I actually was trying to take a corner and I was going too fast and there were one of those poles that prevents cars from driving onto a sidewalk. And so I tried to grab the pole, but I was going too fast. So essentially ended up kind of sliding around the pole directly into some woods. I'm not joking. I crashed into a wooded area. I had a raspberry the size of, oh gosh, it was probably the size, like the entire size of my thigh. It was pretty painful. No one saw me though. I emerged from the woods and got
what
back
happened?
To skating.
Yeah, nothing. Nothing happened.
No one saw me go flying into the woods at breakneck speed sideways. Oh, gosh. One of my finest moments. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, 855-212-4227. Also, on our Facebook page, I'll go back and answer some of your questions from Ask Amy and then online at Amy After Hours. Before this hour is done, we will do the grand reveal of your choice for TD of the week coming off of a touchdown Tuesday. And believe it or not, as much as we're excited about baseball, or I'll speak for me, I'm excited about baseball. I know a lot of the fan bases in the different cities are thrilled that the postseason is underway and October is here. But yeah, we're just hours away from week 5 in the NFL. Stop it. Stop it. This is crazy. It is like flying down a hill with no hands and maybe not opening your eyes either. Eyes covered and hands and feet outside the ride. It becomes that type of a feel where it's breakneck speed. Yeah, we're getting ready to go into week five. And Davante Adams, the big topic now coming out of the weekend. The Raiders have put the word out on the street. Word on the street is they will accept a second round pick and whatever else you can offer to sweeten the deal. So Davante Adams is available. He's available on the trade market. And certainly there are a few teams that keep coming up. I know it's a pipe dream. More than likely, the Raiders are not trading him to the Kansas City Chiefs. But considering what they've lost, that they do not have Hollywood Brown, they don't have Isaiah Pacheco for a while, we still don't know about Rashee Rice, though he will not play this weekend. So they're missing some major pieces. I don't know if Juju Smith-Schuster just doesn't fit into the offense or what. Maybe they have to increase his role as he's healthy. But can you imagine a Patrick Mahomes and a Travis Kelce inserting Davante Adams, the guy who's got more touchdown receptions in the past, well, it's two seasons and a quarter now. So going back to when he started with Vegas and Derek Carr, he has 23 receiving touchdowns. That's more than any other player in the NFL. And after Derek Carr left, he's had a revolving door of quarterbacks. He's had six different QBs, including Derek Carr. But since Carr was benched by the Raiders, or Josh McDaniels, and then was subsequently decided to go to New Orleans, I mean, that was the reason why Davante went to first Oakland and then Vegas. He wanted to play with his college teammate. He wanted to play for the franchise that his family loves in the Bay Area. And so it's gone horribly wrong. It's what now? Three coaches? Two, three coaches? Well, if he goes back to 22, so Josh McDaniels was there 22 and no, he didn't even last a season, did he? Did he last a season and a half? Hold on. Now I'm going to have to look it up. I think he lasted a season and a half before they biffed him. But now he's got Antonio Pierce, and I don't know this whole flap about social media, just the fact that there's any type of interaction on social media over Davante being traded. So Antonio Pierce took over for Josh McDaniels last year, and he was there for a year and a half. So he's had two different head coaches. He's had six different quarterbacks throwing him passes. And I can understand that he desperately wants to win. Like, that to me makes sense, but also that he wants to have some stability. Don't we all want stability at our job? Well, it's really impossible in sports broadcasting, but any type of stability would be terrific. When you're talking about a guy who is one of the best receivers in the league, is still durable. He missed this past weekend, hamstring injury, but he really has not missed any time at all much going back to his days with the Packers. And so he was there, he was cheering. He's a good teammate. He's a good fan when he has to be of the Raiders. He wants them to win. But the constant losing that the Raiders have gone through, this roller coaster ride, is because of all the change. That's the thing. Constant change equals constant losing in sports. I do like what he told Kay Adams when he was a guest on her show Tuesday mornings, and I think he does this weekly, that really, when it comes to the speculation about his future, he's out.
It gets annoying for sure, but it's, I'm one of those players that people like to talk about one way or the other. So thank God that he blessed me with the ability to just focus in on what I need to focus in on and not get sidetracked by any of the outside noise. So if you know better than anybody, we've talked about this many times, and I feel like that's why you have respect for me. If I was the type of guy that, you know, let certain things that people say on the outside get to me, then, you know, I wouldn't be in a position that I am now. And I've had some ups and downs in the league, and through it all, I just try to stay like this and, you know, do my part in that. So whatever else happens, what people are talking about, what people are tweeting, liking, you know, whatever it is, I can't do anything about that.
I respect him for that. And I wish I had more of that perspective, because social media is such a big part of the sports world. And there are times where it gets to me, and I rage against the machine, if you will. So I love Devontae's cool, calm demeanor. We know that he is a terrific player still and can be a great asset to other teams. I don't think that the Raiders would trade him in division unless the Chiefs went over and above and offered so much more than any other team. But then, of course, he's got this massive contract, and there would likely have to be some restructuring, would likely have to be... he's under contract for 25 and 26, but because of how much money he's scheduled to make, $36.25 million for the next 2 years, you can imagine that there would be some type of a restructured deal that would come along with the trade. But he's only 31, and in the last two-plus seasons, he's got more receiving touchdowns than anyone else in the NFL, which means he's attractive. The rumors about the Jets, those were surfacing going back to, say, I don't know, the offseason, about the time that Aaron Rodgers was getting healthy, so when he was participating in mini camps, that type of thing. His agent, Devontae's agent, or agents, there's two of them, they called those rumors baseless and unfounded, but could the Jets get involved? I don't know how that affects the receiving core that they've got, George Pickens, but it's Devontae Adams. So, hey, George, you might have to step aside. Could it be the Commanders? That's another team. I think simply because of how Jaden Daniels is playing in a team that doesn't have a ton of talent. Now, they've got Terry McLaurin. We know he's a world-class receiver. They've certainly got other pieces, young pieces, right? So they're kind of in a situation like the Houston Texans were last season, where they're starting to build up through the draft, and they feel like they've got some good young rookies. But could they benefit from having a Devontae Adams? So it's really about a team maybe starting the bidding and what the Raiders can get in return for Devontae.
I have one. How about the Vikings?
Huh. Okay. So the Vikings already have a wide receiver one, of course.
Yep.
And they do have some other good young wide receivers, like Jalen Naylor has been great to start. Huh. Jordan Addison is healthy now and back, and he had two touchdowns over the weekend. You could definitely put a Devontae Adams into any lineup. But what we've heard from the Vikings already is they have so many weapons that they already feel like there are going to be games where some guys just don't get as much attention. Now, if you accept that and people know that and aren't worried about getting theirs, or as Antonio Pierce called it, their individual business decisions, well, then maybe it's not a big deal. The issue, though, is how much can they pay him? How much are they willing to give up, type of a thing?
And how much is he willing to give up in terms of, like, that, the touches and that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Or if they demand a restructure.
Right.
So interesting. Yeah, that's kind of the buzz now coming out of week number 4. I don't know what that says about the Raiders. Does that say that they're giving up, or only that they think because he's unhappy, or at the very least not thrilled with their situation, that they feel like they can flip him now and get something for him long before the trade deadline?
Or he got annoyed at that business decision comment.
Huh. Well, he's not the kind of guy to make waves, though. I mean, going back to that Netflix show, remember the Netflix show that was called The Receiver, where he was on camera talking about how often he's getting hit and I got to bleep and get out of here and la, 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 la. I don't know if that was just emotion. He said there's nothing to talk about, that's just what happens in football, and people are making a big deal out of nothing. But I do wonder why the Raiders would bother dangling him, since he's still so good. And of all the things that Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell need, it's reliable receivers, veteran, reliable people around them. So I feel like they would only do it if they got a haul in return.
Yeah, I feel like the last time we heard from him with Kay Adams, he was kind of taking a high road on that stuff. Mm-hmm. And so it is, something happened. Something happened maybe that we haven't seen, or what's going on with what Pierce is saying, that changed his demeanor and changed his stance on it. And it's fascinating what's going to happen with him, and something's going to happen by the deadline. I can't see him not being there past the deadline.
I certainly can't imagine that there aren't multiple teams out there that are interested in him. So for that reason, absolutely, it could end up being some movement. We've got some other football news. Von Miller suspended for 4 games, as well as a Browns rookie defensive lineman. Looks like it's for the same thing under the behavioral policy, and so we can get to that as well. The Cowboys, they've got injuries that will limit their defense this weekend. Jerry Jones doing his weekly conversation on our Dallas affiliate, 105.3 The Fan. But four games down in the Major League Baseball wild card series, and the last one, maybe while you were sleeping, Padres able to jump on top of the Braves right away. I mean, the Braves had to travel all the way from Atlanta to San Diego coming off that Monday doubleheader. But regardless, what we saw from the Padres was brilliant, especially Fernando Tatis, who wasted no time.
First pitch, Tatis swings, sends it in the air, very high to left, very deep. Laureano is back. You got to be kidding me. A long home run. First pitch, first at bat. 2-0.
We have the energy today. These fans are amazing, and I just got lucky enough to put my bat on the ball, and next thing we know, this place is going crazy.
It definitely was a raucous atmosphere. It was a loud statement by the Padres, who got all they needed from Fernando Tatis. First pitch, first swing, and he'd been in the postseason going back to 2020, but not with fans in the stands, remember? He missed 22. He's been on quite a journey. So the Padres get the offense early, and Michael King makes it stand up. He was brilliant. 7 innings, only 89 pitches. Scoreless 7 innings, scattered 5 hits, no walks, a dozen strikeouts. And here they are with other guys that they could use. Dylan Cease, Joe Musgrove, who goes today in game number 2. Instead, they start out with Michael King, and he was awesome. Really, the Braves had not a whole lot of opportunity, though they did go 0-for-5 with runners in scoring position. And Bryce Snitker, they've got to score some runs, but King was a tough out.
We got to score, too. I mean, but, in saying that, we do. We got everybody back available tomorrow. They've had a day off, and they can pitch 2 days in a row now. Sweeper, whatever, really good. And I thought his fastball was really quick, too. I mean, it was getting on top of our guys. And, we didn't score because he did a great job.
Snitker giving Michael King his props. Remember, King, along with Kyle Higashioka, who's the catcher that started last night, had a home run. He and Kyle came over in the Juan Soto trade from the Yankees, and look at what they did in the opener of this wild card series. Some definitive themes in the Tuesday games. Other than the Padres, 3 road teams end up winning the openers. And in these series, which, it's limited sample size, but the game 1 winner advances 88% of the time. Last year, we didn't have any game 3s. So the Padres are the only home team that gets the opener. Otherwise, it's the Mets in Milwaukee with the big inning. Again, 5 runs in the 5th. And it was pretty impressive to see how they responded. So they initially got behind Milwaukee by a couple of runs. They rallied to take the lead. Milwaukee pushed back again. So there were 3 lead changes going into, with that big 5th inning where the Mets score the 5 runs. Yeah, Carlos Mendoza, he was expecting exactly what he saw from the Mets despite the Monday doubleheader.
I knew we were in a good spot when we boarded the plane. We celebrated. We got out of the clubhouse in Atlanta, and you could tell right away our mentality was next day, next game. Not thinking too far ahead. Continue to have that type of mentality that we've been having throughout the whole year.
I really do think it helps. As much as it's not optimal to start 0-5 and then be, 11 games under 500 at one point, having just a huge hole that they had to dig out of early in the season, to the point where a lot of New York fans and radio hosts that worked down the hall from us were burying the Mets early on. Pete is a Mets fan. Were you already burying any hopes that you had for the Mets in May?
I was in the beginning of the season. I was because their offseason, it wasn't exactly fruitful in terms of what free agency can bring. I didn't really have high hopes on this team. It's changing. I didn't like them firing Buck. I thought I didn't like the manager hire at the time. I really didn't know what to expect. I was this is like house money now with what's going on. Anything that happens is gravy. So I was not feeling it this year as compared to other years.
Well, you're not alone, because I'm sure the Royals fans and the Tigers fans were in the same boat. And then to see the way that their teams rallied, the Tigers waited till the last second. They were still trailing by 10 games in the AL Central going back to the middle of August. And yet they have Tarek Skubal, one of the best pitchers in baseball, probably the American League Cy Young Award winner, and to offer him some run support in the second inning. They get a trio of RBI singles. That's it. Skubal does have to end up leaving the game after six innings because he was cramping, but he did his job when he was out there, and the bullpen able to follow up. So this taking place at Minute Maid Park. So I love the fact that AJ Hinch is now with the Tigers. Two and a half really bad seasons, but they go into Houston and take game one of their series.
I'm proud of this group because it's exactly who we are and exactly how we talk, and we talk about pressure on the bases, we talk about good at bats, we talk about passing the baton. I mean, all those things came through, you know, with Tarek on the mound too. So I don't think it's a small thing today in the first playoff game from a lot of these guys that they look eerily familiar to the last 2 months. I know the coach cliche of like they're going to play their 27 outs, but they are. I mean, this is a very difficult momentum-built team to get through over and over and over again, and I thought our pitching staff did a really good job.
I'd say I feel like this team's been fighting elimination all year. We were 10 games back, so we know how to play with our back against the wall. You flush today, come back tomorrow, ready to go, ready to compete, and leave it all out in the field.
So interestingly enough, that could have been a member of the Detroit Tigers. It's actually a former player for AJ Hinch in Houston, Alex Bregman. And yeah, he's right. The Astros were 10 games back in the AL West, just like the Tigers were 10 games back in the AL Central. So both these teams have been kind of a heightened sense of awareness for months now. The Astros are not nearly as good as what they've been in the past. Justin Verlander's not even on this wild card roster. And here they are, a game down. Framber Valdez, he's a terrific pitcher. They wouldn't be the AL West champs without him, but he's now, was he 0-4 in the postseason now, I think, in games that he starts. So a terrific outing for the Tigers, who won their first playoff game since 2013 and the ALCS. And honestly, it's been that kind of drought for Kansas City as well, going into Baltimore, only one run scored.
So here's Junior with two down. Swinging a ground ball, base hit left field. Bobby Witt Jr. drives in Michael Garcia. And how many times did we say that in the first half? And the Royals lead 1-0 in the sixth with Bobby Witt Jr. coming through with two outs.
You always got to just stay locked in, control what we can control, and just really be ready for anything. And so just being able to kind of get a good pitch to hit. And Michael had a great at bat, stole a base, and was able to kind of get on and do that was special.
Yeah, the one walk that Corbin Burnes allowed comes around to score on that Bobby Witt single. That's it. That was all of the offense. And there are a few guys on base that got stranded, but not much. And there at Camden Yards, the Royals go in and they steal this one. Burnes lasted eight innings, and they brought him in to try to win playoff games, to put them over the hump. And I know it's frustrating for the Orioles. They feel like they're on the cusp. They've got some unfinished business from a year ago. The team has more experience now, but here they are facing elimination yet again.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
At home. So we'll see what happens on Wednesday. The call there on the Royals radio network and then Bobby Witt after that. And I love the fresh blood just really quick in the American League. I mentioned the Tigers hadn't won a playoff game since 2013. The Royals are back in the playoffs for the first time since their World Series in 15. So both those central teams had a drought that's nearly a decade. Or more than a decade in the Tigers' case. But here are the Orioles who haven't won any of their last 9 playoff games. So I know their fan base is desperate as well. So we'll see what changes on day number 2. Wednesday, your hump day. Now, back of the hour, part of my conversation with Tony Gwynn Jr. Yes, that Tony Gwynn Jr. from the baseball family. To be able to catch up with him after the Padres game, he works with Jesse Agler on Padres Radio. We're able to talk to him for a few minutes, which was awesome. But straight ahead, Dan Campbell forgot something. It was critical. It was really important, and he had to make good for it on Tuesday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
1 man to beat 10. He's gone!
They throw to the end zone. Touchdown!
Made a guy miss. He's inside the 5. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown! Center zoning into the end zone. Touchdown!
The people have spoken, and one score stands above the rest. Here is your TD of the week. The Detroit Lions.
Jared leans in. There's the snap. Jared on the end around gives it to Amon-Ra. He's going to throw it to Jared. It's on the line to the end zone. Jared Goff. Oh, baby, on the receiving end of a pass from Amon-Ra St. Brown. Oh, Ben Johnson, I see you too. That is beautiful stuff. That is Monday Night Magic.
No doubt, there was a lot of magic from Jared Goff, but in your choice for TD of the week, he was on the receiving end of an Amon-Ra St. Brown pass, and they'd been working on that play for a few years, but had never had the opportunity to run it until Monday night against the Seahawks, and along the way, Jared Goff set a record, 18 for 18. No quarterback has ever gone perfect in a game with more than 10 passes thrown. And yet somehow he did not end up with the game ball. Dan Campbell was embarrassed when he realized his mistake.
I just gave the game ball to somebody else, so I feel awful right now. I knew he played a heck of a game. I did not realize he was perfect. I did not know he was literally 18 for 18.
By the way, Campbell corrected that mistake and gave him a game ball on Tuesday, just so that Jared Goff didn't think he was getting overlooked. Good stuff. We're getting closer to week 5 in the NFL. I told you Devontae Adams is the big story, but also Jerry Jones, the Dallas Cowboys, missing a bunch of key players. I mean, that's the case for a lot of teams, but without DeMarcus Lawrence, without Micah Parsons in week 5, what will they do?
You can poach practice squad players. It's hard to think that there's someone that you can step out and poach that could literally step in this week. Now, step in for you 2 or 3 games from now, yes. And so you may see us do that. We're in that process right as we're speaking. But basically, we'll just move on and replace those guys and hope for the best. We got good news from DeMarcus. He didn't have to have any type of surgery. Confirmed again with second opinion yesterday. So that'll eliminate that bone healing time or those type of things in any type of recovery. Micah will be week to week.
Two critical players for the Cowboys defense, and as it is, they've struggled in the first month anyway. The Cowboys put DeMarcus on IR because of a Liz Frank injury, so he'll be out at least 4 weeks. And in fact, they think he could take up to 8 weeks to recover, though, as Jerry Jones says, that's without the surgery. And as for Micah, he's got the left ankle sprain, a high ankle sprain, which is a big deal. Defensive end KJ Henry off the practice squad, the Bengals practice squad, to try to help. He's a veteran in the league, so that may give them a little bit of a reinforcement. But yeah, it's tough. A lot of teams are pivoting now on the spot because of injuries that they find out after previous weekend's games. Jerry, a weekly guest on our Dallas affiliate, 105.3 The Fan with Sean and RJ. Yeah, we're getting closer. How is that possible? It's Falcons and Bucks to kick off week 5 on Thursday night. We'll see if we have any baseball to go along with. That would be the game 3s in the wild card round. We had a terrific atmosphere in San Diego, loud statement by the Padres on Tuesday night, and had a chance to catch up with Tony Gwynn Jr., former Padre, but also part of the radio broadcast team, and you'll hear from him coming up. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Let's lead off with the baseball playoffs.
Here's the 1-2, and Higgy swings, sends it in the air, deep to left field. Laureano is back. He is at the wall. It's going to go!
Jesse Agler on Padres Radio. The Padres over the Braves 4-0 in Game 1 of the National League Wild Card Series. Michael King was brilliant. 7 innings, no runs, 5 hits, 12 strikeouts, home runs for Fernando Tatis Jr. and Kyle Higashioka. Game 2, Wednesday, 8:38 p.m., Eastern Time. Now to Milwaukee.
Now the pitch. Breaking ball. Hit on the ground. Right side. Base hit. Right field. Nimmo is in. Nientos around third, coming to the plate. The throw goes to third. Two-run score. Stopping at second is Alonso. J.D. Martinez with a two-run single. And the Mets have put up a 5 spot here in the 5th inning. They go in front of the Brewers 8-4.
That was Howie Rose on Mets Radio. The Mets beat the Brewers 8-4. They lead the series 1-0. Game 2 Wednesday, 7:38 p.m. Eastern Time. Now to the American League, where the Tigers beat the Astros 3-1. Detroit up 1-0. Tarek Skubal, 6 innings, no runs, 4 hits, 6 strikeouts. Game 2 Wednesday, 2:32 p.m. Eastern Time. The Royals beat the Orioles 1-0. Kansas City up 1-0. Cole Reagan, 6 innings, no runs, 4 hits, 6 strikeouts. Game 2 Wednesday, 4:38 p.m. Eastern Time. Now to the NFL. The Raiders have reportedly informed other NFL teams that they would consider trading wide receiver Devontae Adams for a package that includes a second-round pick and additional compensation. The Bills' Von Miller suspended by the NFL 4 games for violating the league's personal conduct policy. Now to the WNBA semifinals. Game 2 in New York. The Liberty over the Aces, 88-84. The Liberty up 2-0. The Lynx beat the Sun 77-70 in Game 2 of that series. And that series is now deadlocked at 1 game apiece. I'm Peter Schwartz.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227.
One and two, the pitch. Darno swings and misses, strike 3. Chased a sweeper that had to be 5 feet outside. 3 straight K's for King. That's a dozen on the night. 1 shy of his career high.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jesse Agler on Padres Radio. Michael King with a dozen strikeouts over 7 innings of shutout ball. And he didn't need much offense, but he got the support from the team and from the crowd. It was crazy. 47,000 strong there at Petco Park. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Really cool to catch up with Jesse's partner, former big leaguer himself, Tony Gwynn Jr. Of course, you know that name as Hall of Fame dad. And he was there for this opener of the Wild Card Series. I started out by asking him about that loud atmosphere.
Amy, it was incredible. I mean, we've broke a sellout record this year once again. But this atmosphere, I mean, just during starting lineups, it was absolutely bonkers. And in kind of fitting fashion, Fernando Tatis Jr. comes up in the first inning, and, you know, he missed out on the playoffs in 22. He didn't get a chance to participate. And so this was his first time playing in the playoff setting in front of a crowd. I think the last time he played in the playoffs was 20, and there was cardboard boxes in the stand. So fitting fashion, he got the first pitch and crushed it, and the Padres really never looked back from that point on.
Michael King was terrific, as was his catcher, Kyle Higashioka. I heard you and Jesse Agler raving about the two of them. How did they command this game?
for as important as Kyle is to the situation, obviously putting the fingers down, Michael King was really the one steering the ship today. Numerous times I saw him calling the pitch, you know, going to that pitch com, making the call on his own. And he just got better as the game went on. I'm sure in his first, like, big-time start in the playoffs, nerves were probably rolling. And you could tell no sign of that. He settled in really nicely after the first and just really dominated that Braves lineup that they didn't have an answer for him.
This team has the best record in baseball since the All-Star break. This team looks a lot more like what we saw 2 years ago in the postseason. What happened that powered the surge?
Honestly, I don't know that anything happened. You know, the Padres had set on a long-term plan of a certain approach they wanted to have offensively. And, you know, when you're putting together an approach as a team approach, it can take some time for it to settle in and kind of understand everybody's role in it and how that's going to look. And I just think by the time the break came, you know, Manny had started to get hot. Xander Bogaerts had come off the IL. He was starting to swing the bat well. And I just think it all kind of came together at the perfect time. Mike Schilt has really been the one pushing the idea that when the Padres were teetering in the first half of at 500, above 500, just below, he really had the approach that this was going to continue to get better. And that's exactly what happened. From every aspect of the game of baseball, they got better. And I think it just all came together at the right time.
We're excited to have former big leaguer and Odyssey MLB insider Tony Gwynn Jr. with us, fresh off the broadcast on the Padres Radio Network as they take game one over the visiting Braves in this wild card series. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It's kind of a weird aberration now in between the 22 and 24 seasons. Any theories as to what went wrong?
Large part of that team is still here. And I think you talk to the guys, it just got to a point where the expectation was so high going into the season. After getting to an NLCS a year before, I think these guys tried to start pressing. It became trying to hit the four-run homer with no one on every at-bat per purpose. And it's hard to win baseball games like that. And the experience of that led to this ball club really being open to a new direction. And here comes hitting coach Victor Rodriguez. Here comes new manager Mike Schilt. And they just bought in from day one. They wanted to have a Petco Park approach, as they call it, which, you know, in this ballpark here, the ball's tough to get out of the ballpark. So a lot more on-the-line drive, kind of swing in the middle of the field. And as I said, as the year went along, they got better at it. And I think that's really the difference. You know, they had good pitching last year. They had a good bullpen last year. They just couldn't hit with runners in scoring position. They couldn't do some of the little things like move guys and bring them in from third, less than two. They struggled at that immensely. And this team here in 24 has not. They've been the exact opposite.
There's always a debate that goes on about how much experience matters. You played the game. How does it help?
It definitely helps. I mean, listen, I'm sure Michael King, in his first big start in postseason, had a lot of the same nerves he had as his first pitch in the big league. The more you're in it, the easier it is to start to control that. And, you know, he did a great job, as I said. But the guys who are experienced, there's probably less nerves. They know what to expect from the crowd, and they understand the focus that turns up a couple dials from the regular season to the postseason. And that's across the board, everybody. Even some of the rookies who are getting their first opportunity, there's just a different focus in playoff baseball that there isn't in regular season.
Fernando Tatis hits a huge home run, first pitch that he sees. How have you seen Tatis grow and mature over the last couple seasons?
He's matured immensely. You go through what he went through. You know, he broke his wrist. You know, he had to miss out. Then he tests positive. He misses a full year, you know, for a lot of us, whether it's injury or whether it's, you know, the things he went through. When the game is stripped from you, you realize how important it is to you. And in that process, he's become, you know, he's grown from a young man to a man. And I think it shows in the way he kind of carries himself on the field and off the field. And he's a joy to have around, and it's just nice to see somebody, you know, really take their growth seriously. And I think it's been fun to see him have some success because of it.
What makes the Atlanta Braves dangerous?
I think when they're healthy, you know, they're one of the best teams in the league. in all of the National League, for certainly. But that's not the case here. You know, they're missing Ronald. Ozzie Albies is only hitting right-handed. So that tells you he's probably got something that's still bothering him. They're missing a bunch of pitching. And that doesn't mean this team can't turn the series around and bring it in their favor, because obviously, despite all of those injuries, here they are, you know, playing in the postseason. So they're a plenty dangerous team, and the Padres certainly won't, you know, overlook them. They'll come out and look, try to put it away tomorrow. But, you know, when you got guys like Marcell Ozuna and even if only right-handed Albies and Matt Olson, these guys can, if they can score, that's going to be their ticket to extending this series. If those guys can't be the ones carrying the load, or if this team can't score offensively, it's going to be trouble, because they are behind the eight ball.
Tony Gwynn Jr. is with us after hours with Amy Lawrence, and all of our insider calls are brought to you by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers professional-grade supplies and solutions made for every industry and backed by product experts. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Love to watch the NL West race this year, because it really was a three-team battle. But how much does it matter that the Padres see the Dodgers on a regular basis and aren't intimidated by them like so many other teams are?
I think that's an advantage for the Padres. They, for the first time in many, many years, the Padres won the regular season series. And I think throughout all of the years where they were getting beat by the Dodgers, I think once they took them out in that 2022 playoff series, you've kind of seen the tide change a little bit. There is no fear of that ball club. Even though they respect the Dodgers immensely, because they've been division winners for over a decade.
Right.
And so there's a tremendous amount of respect that comes with it. However, I think the Padres have shown this year, really, that they don't fear them. And they know, even on paper, they match up as well with them as they do anybody in this league.
Tony, we just saw the A's wrap up nearly 60 years in Oakland, a unique relationship there that extends back a long time. You've been in San Diego for forever, it feels like, and your family established there. The Chargers are gone now. How would you describe the relationship between the Padres, this organization, and the fans there in San Diego?
It's interesting, because this was always a Charger town first, despite, you know, many people's thoughts. This was always a football town first. So when they left, it created an opening for the Padres. And the Padres were having some of those young guys and starting to spend in free agency right at that time. And so it really was perfect timing. You know, the Chargers leave, there's a big void. Padres have a chance to fill it, but they certainly wouldn't have been able to fill it with, you know, lackluster team.
Right.
And so in comes Toddy, you know, as a young player. They sign Eric Hosmer first. Machado follows. And so all of this starts to build at the right time. And, you know, for a city like San Diego, we had never really spent in free agency like this. So that alone was exciting. And then you start to see the couple years put together, and you start to see it, the team starting to come together. And so this relationship right now is as good as it's ever been, you know, since the existence of the San Diego Padres. Maybe the 84 team, maybe the 98 team, but in terms of consistency, this is the best the Padres organization has ever been. And so right now there is an extreme love affair in the city. The city buzzes when this team is playing well and in the playoffs. And as I said earlier, I've done all these games at Petco Park. I have never seen a crowd engage from moment starting lineups happen to the end the way I saw tonight at Petco Park.
Tony Gwynn Jr. sounds a lot like his dad, doesn't he? I was listening to the game, since I knew we would have him on the show once the Padres broadcast was done. I was listening to him along with Jesse Agler, and you would think that you were listening to his dad. I mean, that it was incredible to hear him over the course of the game, but then also have him on the show for the first time. I appreciate his perspective, especially when it comes to San Diego, because his family has been entrenched there for a long time. For a lot of years, he played his college ball in San Diego. His dad was there, and then, of course, he played too, and now is with the team in a different capacity. Also asked him about the family perspective on Pete Rose, and he mentioned his dad and some of his perceptions of what Pete Rose meant to the game of baseball. There's a lot more there. You can grab it on our podcast. It's posted every weekday on our show Twix at Amy After Hours, also on our Facebook page. But you don't need to do that. You can just Google it or search for it on Bing, whatever your search engine is. And it'll pop up After Hours with Amy Lawrence podcast. And there are a lot of evergreen links, too, that you can use from our social media. Speaking of that, I know, Pete, we just have a minute to go. But I have this new message on my Galaxy phone. So I don't have an iPhone. I'm not getting an iPhone. I don't like iPhone.
I'm with you. I'm same thing.
For this is coming from, like, I open up my texting and there's a message. Message Plus will be shutting down effective 11/7/24. And it tells me for the best possible experience, use Google Messages as your default app. It's simple and easy to switch. And then it gives me like the switch now option. Seriously, Google is trying to take over the world. First, it was Facebook. Their Meta plan failed, though they are selling our information to the Chinese. We know that they're censoring and selling information to the Chinese. And now it's Google trying to take over the world. And I have to have a Google messaging app. That's as bad as Apple, where they make you use the iMessage and you can't use any other features.
You sign on to Google once and then it opens up about 15 other things that you
That's what I mean. I do not love the fact that Google is going to have, well, I mean, they have access to everything anyway. But you know what's really freaky? I'm telling you, it happens all the time. I'm sure it happens to you. You and I will talk about something on the air and I'll get an ad for it on my social media or on my phone. When you open up a new search browser, Gmail too, there'll be all kinds of ads that are for things that I've talked about, not even things I've searched. Also creepy too, when I search for a particular topic at work and then I get home and it's on my home computer as well.
Oh, that's freaky.
That is freaky. I'm telling you, they're spying on us and there's nothing we can do about it. And now I'm about to be stuck with Google Messages. Should I just go off the grid? That's it?
Yes,
just disappear. No more. Have a great Wednesday. We'll talk to you tonight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.